We are doing Makos. We're up to Beis HaMikdash. Second line where the lines get wide. Tanu Rabbanan. We left off. We had learned this Braisa. The Braisa tells us four halachos with regard to Edom Zomimin. Edom Zomimin literally again means Edom that plotted. And we said ordinarily if two witnesses contradict one another, we send them home. If two pairs of witnesses contradict one another, the Torah tells us a chidush that in an instance where the second pair says you were with us at that time, with that specific type of contradiction, if that happens after the first witnesses were successful in convincing the courts and the courts had reached a conclusion but had not yet implemented the conclusion, if at that point in time witnesses walk in and say you were with us at the time you claim you saw this happen, then the first pair of witnesses become Edim Zomimim, Edim that plotted, and they get the punishment that they tried to inflict upon the other. That's a basic law in the Torah. Now, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braisa that was validated from the Academy of Rav Chiya or Rav Hoshaya. Dalet Devarim Ne'emru Be'edim Zomimim. Four things were said with regard to Edim Zomimim. Number one is and number two we know from our Mishnah. En nasin ben grusha ven chalutza ven golin lare miklat. They themselves do not become a ben grusha ven chalutza. They do not become a disqualified coin if they were plotting to disqualify another coin. And we learned where this is derived from in the Torah, this special halacha. And if they tried to get someone else to go into exile, if they plotted and they were believed in court saying that someone murdered by mistake, so even though they tried to get him to go into exile, we have a special derivation that teaches us they do not. And now the Braisa is going to add upon our Mishnah. And they do not pay redemption money. The Torah says if someone has an ox that killed three times and then killed, so the Torah says really the owner is at fault. You know your ox has been killing, so you have to redeem your life. Really, the owner should get killed for his ox killing another human being. So he has to pay what's called kofer. He has to redeem his life. He has to recognize that his life should really be taken for the fact that his ox killed again. We killed the ox, but he should have really taken better care. So if witnesses testify that so-and-so's ox gored that time in which he would have to pay this kofer, this redemption money, we're going to see there's a special derivation. They themselves do not pay kofer. They do not pay that redemption money. Nor do they get sold as an Eved Ivri. If they testified that someone stole and the courts accepted their testimony, so now the guy has to pay back double. They say, he held up the bank on Sunday. We were there. We told him, don't do it. It's a biblical prohibition. One of the Ten Commandments, he can't steal. He went in, he stole. The guy says, I didn't do it. The witnesses were accepted. Then the courts made him pay back the $5 million he stole plus another $5 million. He says, I don't have even a quarter of a million. So we say, okay, we'll sell you as a slave and you'll pay back what you stole. Not for the double, but at least for what you stole. And then the courts reached that conclusion. They didn't yet implement it. And then witnesses walked in and say, you weren't there when that bank was held up. You were with us in Honolulu. You weren't even here. So they became Edom Zomimin. They themselves do not get sold as a slave. And that's going to have to be explained. The Gemara is going to bring sources. Mishum Rabbi Akiva Amru. In the name of Rabbi Akiva, it was quoted a fifth halacha with regard to Edom Zomimin. Aven Mishalmin al Piatzman. Just like with any other tax, if a person admits to the wrongdoing, he does not have to pay the tax. By the same token, if witnesses walked into the court and they testified and then they were found to be Edom Zomimin, and then before the courts could make them pay, they ran to another court and they said, hey, we were caught in court, in a court in a different county, we were caught and we're Edom Zomimin and they're going to make us pay and we admit. So then admitting that they did before another court is like admitting to any other tax, and Rabbi Kiva holds that would absolve them from the tax of paying what they were plotting. That's a tax, and like we have a derivation in the Torah that any tax, the Torah tells us, if a thief were to come in and say, here's what I stole, he doesn't have to pay double. Ordinarily, a thief has to pay double, but if he admits, that double is a tax, it's a penalty. So this is called, in Talmudic terms, modeh b'knas patur. He who admits to a knas, to a tax, is patur, absolved from that tax. Okay, yes.
So this statement from Rav Akiva, is it part of the Braita? Or is it
yes, it's part of the Braita.
Okay.
Rav Akiva Zatana, yes. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to review play-by-play summary here. The Gemara is going to go halacha by halacha and discuss where do we get that from. So now the Gemara is going to quote each line in the Braisa. The Gemara says, we said, Ein nasin ben gushal ben chalutza. These false witnesses, these edim zomimin, they themselves do not become a disqualified kohen kidamaran. As we explained earlier, that's what we did from the beginning of the tractate till here. We explained that. Ven golin arimiklat. They don't go into exile to the cities of refuge, kidamaran, as we explained on this page, on Amud Beis. Now, ven mishalmin et hakofer. And they don't pay that redemption money. So the Gemara says, this really leads us into a discussion of what is this redemption money? Whose soul are you paying for? The guy who owns the ox? He has to redeem his own soul because his ox killed? Or he's paying the redemption money for the guy who was murdered? And the life that was taken, that's what he has to, so to speak, redeem in his payment. Which one? He has to think, you know, I should be killed because my ox killed, or he should think, I have to pay something, you know, my ox did kill a human being here. Who's he really paying when he pays that redemption money? So that's a machlokas tanaim. So, yes.
Who does this money get paid to? Is it something that's brought to the temple, or is it given to the relatives of the man who died?
Yep, yeah.
Which one?
The relatives.
Okay.
He's not buying them off. No.
I seem to have heard that like a lot of people have a problem with the reparation money being given to Israel by Germany, like saying that like that's like how can they? I mean, obviously, no money can buy a human life back, but like that it's like. Halachically, it's like wrong. That whole even idea of paying.
But here, let's think of the analogy. Germany willfully murdered. Here we're talking about a guy who didn't take good enough care of his ox, and the Torah wanted him to understand that he has to pay, and that he has to realize that he does have a high responsibility in what his ox did. Can you really compare?
This is only
right?
An established killing ox, right? Not just a stump.
Correct.
One
an established
time.
Killing ox, right. Okay. Now, the question here is, why do we pay that redemption money? So, we quoted one machlokes, which we'll get to later on in the page, which is, whose soul are we paying here? Who's being redeemed? The murderer or the guy who was murdered? But there's another machlokas which we have to discuss before that. And that is the question, how do we view this redemption money? Do we say that's money that the Torah said pay to help you get atonement? That's called kufra. Kufra is the kofer. The Torah calls it im kofer yushas olot. Im sometimes means when. When redemption money will be placed upon him. When they will tell him, you have to pay so-and-so redemption money for the guy that was killed. So then he has to pay. Is that kapara, to attain atonement? Is that the reasoning behind it? And then these witnesses, they don't need atonement. Their ox didn't kill anyone. They need atonement for a different sin. They lied. But the whole concept of their doing what they were plotting is about their having to pay what they were planning to make someone else pay, that whole concept is a tax. That's not atonement. Go pay what you were meant to do and you're forgiven. No. When a guy's ox bored, so then the Torah says, pay redemption money. And one understanding is that it will help you in attaining atonement. When witnesses lied and they were caught, there the Torah says, you're going to be taxed. You're going to pay what you meant to make someone else pay. But that's not about forgiveness. It's about paying for what they meant to do. It's a tax. It's a punishment. So if I say that kufra, the money that's paid as redemption money, is kapara, it's really there to gain atonement, then they don't have a right to this atonement. This atonement was given specifically in the Torah for someone whose ox killed. They don't have a right. They can't pay their way out of it.
It seems kind of like almost a punishment to these edim.
Right. And if I say that the money is really just, the Torah says, you know, a human life was taken, you got to pay the family something. There is a what we would call mamona. In halacha, on the one hand, we say human life is invaluable. You can't put a price on human life. You do everything to save a human life. And yet, when a human life has been taken, so the Torah gives us ways of gauging how much that was worth. Meaning, if a person was harmed physically, we gauge how much was he able to make beforehand, how much is he going to be able to make now. When a woman was pregnant and someone caused her to miscarry, so there's a value that's given on that. There's an amount that has to be paid. And here too, when someone's ox killed someone, so then the Torah says on the one hand, human life is invaluable. On the other hand, you do have to pay something to the family. You know, a guy has life insurance. How much is your life worth to you? You know, is it only worth $1 million? No, it's worth much more than that. But at the end of the day, there is something that has to be paid. But then it would be mamona. Then we say the kofar that's being paid is mamona. It's money. It's a monetary issue. It goes to the monetary court. It's not a spiritual issue. It's not about forgiveness. It's about pay. It's about payment.
So the kofar is no longer kapara in this case.
That's a machlokas. Do we view kofar as kapara, or do we say kofar is mamona? It's money. And then we would say, okay, so then it's like any other monetary issue. They tried to make them pay money. They'll have to pay the money. Yes? Clear, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even if his payment is for atonement, doesn't necessarily mean that atonement transfers over to the Eidim Zonim.
It does not. That's exactly the point. We say if kufra kafara, if that money is for atonement, then they can't pay that money. Then they would not have to pay it. Our Braisa says they do not pay kofar. So the Gemara says, with which opinion does this align? It seems to align with the opinion that kofar is kapara. The reason you're paying the money is for atonement. And that's why they don't do that. Their ox didn't gore you.
I just have a question. Is there a difference in the case if the...
Give me one second before we go on a tangent. Are we all together, guys? Clear? Yes.
Is there a difference in case if the guy with the Eidim Zonim are testifying against, is there a difference in case if he's actually guilty or not?
No. We'll see a Mishnah later on says you could have a situation where two sets of witnesses testify that he killed so-and-so. One pair become Eidim Zonim, they'll get killed, and he will get killed. Both will be executed. Doesn't matter. Right. That doesn't matter.
In other words, they're lying about their witness. Though he actually did kill somebody, it was under different circumstances.
Even if they said everything right, but they didn't see it, they could end up dying together with him. Yeah. That's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah later on. We'll get there. Maybe. I hope. Okay. So, basically, we just summarized the Gemara. Now we'll read it inside, now that we understand the concept. So the Braisa had said, the Ein Mishalmin et HaKofer, the Eidim Zomimin will not pay this redemption money. Do we all have the place? Kasavrei, the Braisa holds, the Braisa is of the opinion, Kufra Kapara. Kufra, the kofar that the Torah says he has to pay that redemption money, is for kapara, for atonement. The Hane and these witnesses, lav b'nei kapara ninu, they are not worthy of kapara. B'nei kapara is worthy of kapara, like bar mitzvah.
The word worthy, that's what I'm... there's two ways of looking at it. Either they're not able to,
okay, they don't have the capacity to. Bar mitzvah, he has the capacity to do mitzvah. They don't have the capacity to get a kapara through this. So that's what the Gemara explains. Our Braisa goes with that opinion. Now, let's just pause for a second. We end up having a stam braisa, a braisa that's plainly stated, which goes in line with one opinion in the Mishnah. Meaning there's a machlokas in the Mishnah, a stam in the braisa. Halachically, that automatically gives a lot of weight to that opinion in the Mishnah. Yeah, clear?
So can you explain the term stam?
Stam means something that's plainly stated. Okay. If something is plainly stated, so that means that that Mishnah, that braisa, gave that opinion a lot of validity. It gave it the validity as though everyone agrees to this opinion. It's just said, that's it.
So nobody's going to come and bring a kushya to this.
You could ask on it. Sometimes you have a stam Mishnah this way and a stam braisa that way. And the stam Mishnah is stronger than a stam braisa. But stam braisa has a lot of weight.
Okay.
So in a minute we'll see it's a machlokes. You have a machlokes, two different opinions among the Tanaim. And then you have this braisa that's a stam. If that's all I had, then this would put the weight with that opinion, and that would be aloha. Being that there's a whole shas out there, so we have to take into account whatever else is out there.
It would be putting the weight on the opinion that the kofar is kapara.
Correct.
Okay. But we've been saying there's more that we're going to see.
I don't know what we'll see, but there's more to see.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Man Tana Kufra Kapara. Who is the Tana who has this opinion that kofar is kapara? Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, Rav Chisda is an Amora, he's Rava's father-in-law, he was a Kohen. Rav Chisda said that this is the opinion of Rabbi Ishmael Benosh Rav Yochanan ben Berokahi. Rabbi Ishmael, the son of Rav Yochanan, the son of Beroka. That's the opinion. Ditanya, for we have a Braisa that quotes the Machlokes as to what is Kofar. So the braisa begins by quoting the pasuk. The pasuk says, if his ox gores, and then they put upon him kofar, v'natan pidyon nafsho, and he will pay that kofar redemption of his soul. That's what the pasuk says. So now the braisa has differing opinions. One opinion says, d'mein nizak, he must pay the value of the person who was damaged, the person who was murdered by his ox. You want to know who you're paying for? The guy who was murdered. That's the opinion that says, Kufra Mamona. You're paying money. You're paying money for the guy who was killed. Rabbi Yishmael Benosh Rav Yochanan ben Broko Omer Demei Mazik. He says, you pay the value of the guy who owns the ox. It's your ox that damaged. So that's the money you pay. My love, isn't it so, Behaka Miflegi, that this is their arguing? This is what they're arguing about. Demar Savar Kufra Mamona. Umar Savar Kufra Kapara. The opinion that says you evaluate the guy who was killed, that's because you're paying money. The opinion that says you evaluate the guy who owns the ox, that's because you're redeeming his soul. That's Kapara. That's what the Gemara wants to assume. That's their argument. So far, so good.
Okay, so we have the question asked. Man Tana Kufra Kipara. Who's the Tana assessing? Who's the Tana who brought this Sprite?
Who's the Tana that has that opinion?
Okay. Said the Sprite.
Or that this Sprite would go with his opinion.
Ah, okay. So, in other words, I see. So that's why when he quotes Ravi Yishmael, it's not necessarily. And he quotes him saying some additional stuff that's. Because that's the additional stuff that Rabbi Yishmael said that matches the braita.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we here together? Okay. So let's organize things in our minds. We begin. Our braita said. I wish I had a blackboard. Okay.
Do
I have a piece of paper? Right.
I
might have scrap paper. It's just that it'll help us because we're about to undo everything we just did, so it helps to know what we just did. To have it. Okay.
Thank you,
though. No, it's okay. We had our braisa. We'll call that braisa 1. And guys, this is the way you should learn when you're learning. Stop, write it out, map out the Gemara so you follow what the question's going on, what the answer's going on. What are we doing here? Our Braisa quoted four halachot of Edim Zomimim, one of which was that they don't pay kofar. I should write in English, right? Okay, don't pay kofar. That's our Braisa. That's our starting point. We said, what's the logic behind it? So this is the starting point. This is the given. We offered explanation that the reason is because kofar equals atonement. We asked, who says that? Mantano, who's that opinion? Who says that? We answered, this is my code when I write. A line is an answer, a question mark is a question. And I like writing it in the beginning of the question on my notes, so that way I know what I'm reading when I read the line. Meaning, when I write notes, I always write in the beginning of the line, question, answer, and I separate them to separate lines, so when I review the Gemara, I have an easy time seeing what's connected to what. Okay, it's just that with time, I learned to do that. Okay, so we answered that that's going to be, and the answer here we'll put, just so we know, but it's Rav Chisda. And he answered that's going to be Rabbi Yishmael Bno Shav Yochanan Ben Broka. Baba. Yeah? Rabbi Yishmael Bno Shav Yochanan Ben Broka.
Excuse me, Rob. Are we allowed to refer to him as this Rabbi Yishmael?
You shouldn't, because there was a different Rabbi Yishmael.
Okay.
And it'll confuse you.
Okay.
And you just wait. That other Rabbi Yishmael is about to show up in Har Gemara. So, Rabbi Yishmael, no Shav Yochanan Ben Broka. And that led us to another machlokas, which was, is kofar, the owner of the ox, who do we evaluate? Yeah? Evaluate kofar.
Evaluate the value of what?
Are we evaluating the owner of the ox or the guy who was murdered? Does he have a name in English?
The victim. Victim.
Okay, excellent. That's the word we need. Or is it the victim? Now, are we together?
Yes.
Okay, and we wanted to suggest that if Kofar is the victim, that equals mamon. Then you're paying the money of his value to his inheritors. If Kofar is the value of the owner of the ox, perpetrator, yeah, we'll call it that. What's a better word in law for the guy who's he inflicted the damage?
You say perpetrator.
Perpetrator?
Because you have to switch to the crime.
Okay, so if it's the owner of the ox, then kofar would be what? Kapara, atonement. And then we want to say, so Rabbi Shmuel Bno Shav Yochanan Ben Broka is this opinion. He says the owner of the ox. And we want to give, this is what we're supposing, that the logic behind him is, why does he say the owner of the ox? Because he holds its atonement. And then he would be this opinion of our Braisa. So now you guys see the order? Isn't it simple once you mapped it out? Again, Braisa said four halachot. One of the halachot was that Edom Zomim don't pay kofar. We said, must be the logic behind it. We explained this because kofar equals atonement. We said, who is the Tana? We're suggesting it's Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broka, being that he says you evaluate the owner of the ox. We said the logic behind that must be because kofar equals atonement. So you're evaluating, you're atoning for yourself. You're saying, I'm responsible for what my ox did. Instead of me getting death penalty, I'll pay my own atonement. That's the logic we're offering so far. We're about to knock that out of the water. But so far, this is the logic. Yo?
Yeah.
Okay. Back to our Gemara. Omar Rav Papa. Da, 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 da. Along comes Rav Papa and says, lo. You guys know what that means?
I'm assuming he disagrees.
Lo, not like you said. That's not the logic behind Rav Yochanan ben Broka. That's not the argument in the Braisa. Rav Yochanan ben Broka and Chachamim had an argument, who do you evaluate? It's not an argument of, is kofar atonement money, or is it the monetary reimbursement for the loss of life? No, that's not the argument at all. Don't tell me he's the opinion that holds kufra kafara. De kuli alma kufra kafara. Rav Papa was a disciple of Rava. Rava was a son-in-law of Rav Chista. Rava was once learning in front of Rav Chista, and Rav Chista held his daughter on his lap. And Rav Chista asked his daughter, who are you going to marry? Rava and another student sitting there. So she said, both. And Rava said, and me last. And that's what happened. She married the first student, and then he died. And then she married Rava. And then Rava had a dream. He and Abaye, the two Kohanim, descendants of Eli HaKohen. They both had the same dream at night. They both went to Bar Hedya to interpret the dream. Abaye paid Bar Hedya, Rava didn't. So Bar Hedya interpreted the dream to Abaye, a great interpretation, which came true. And to Rava, disastrous interpretation, which also came true. One of them was, this happened for many, many dreams. They had the same dream, Abaye and Rava. They both went to Bar Hedya. And each time Abaye, who paid his dues, would get a good interpretation, and Rava, who didn't, would get a bad interpretation. And each time they'd come true. And one time, Bar Hedya interpreted one of Rava's dreams that his wife would die. And then one day, Rava was near Bar Hedya, and Bar Hedya dropped a book. And Rava picks up the book for him, and he sees it's a dream interpretation book, and it says the major rule in dream interpretations is that it all depends on the interpreter. Whatever you say comes true. So Rava says, really? You could have given me good interpretations, and you did all that to me? I can't believe that. You just made me suffer so much, and you could have made it all good for me? I'm willing to forgive you for everything, aside from Rav Chista's daughter. Everything you did to me, I could forgive you for. Except for my wife, Rav Chista's daughter, not. And then he said to Bar Hedya that Bar Hedya should die an unusual death. And Bar Hedya ran away. And he was near the Roman emperor's castles. And the treasurer said to him, I had a dream, interpret the dream to me. So Bar Hedya said, pay me. So he said, no, tell me the interpretation. So he interpreted the dream to mean that all of they're going to find worms, and all of the treasury and all of the king's wealth is going to go sour. So they go into the treasury and they find that there are worms, and all the king's wealth, everything was destroyed. So they take the treasurer and they're ready to execute him. They say, you destroyed, you didn't do a good job. And the treasurer said, what do you want from me? Go to him. He knew it all along. So they grabbed Bartholomew, the Gemara says, and they tied one foot, they bent down two trees, and they tied one foot to one tree and another foot to another tree, and the rest is history. So Rava's curse came true. But at any rate, Rava was Rav Chista's son-in-law. Rava used to get mun every day by the merits of Rav Chista. And Rava's disciple was Rav Papa. There are a lot of more stories to go, but tonight's class, that's on the Monday-Tuesday class, we say stories, as we learn the Gemara. We got it here, we're not going to do that. I hope you guys don't mind, but I don't think we'll get our goal here. Yeah. Monday, Tuesday nights, our Megillah class, we tell stories about each Amora that I know a little bit of stories about. But Rav Papa, at any rate, is Rava's disciple, so he's two generations down. Rav Chista offered this answer that the Tana of our Braisa is Rav Yishmael ben Osho Yochanan ben Broka, and along comes Rav Papa, a disciple of a disciple. Rav Chista's disciple, not really his disciple, but his son-in-law is Rava, and Rav Papa is Rava's disciple. So Rav Papa is two generations down. Along comes Rav Papa and says, lo, no, not like you said. De kuli alma, everyone agrees, kufra kaporo. So we were looking for who agrees to this opinion. Along comes Rav Papa and says, everyone does. Everyone agrees, kofar is for atonement. You're not reimbursing anyone for anything. Kofar is kafara, atonement. So what are they arguing about? Why does Rav Yochanan ben Broka say you evaluate the owner of the ox? And why does the Braisa say you evaluate the victim? What are they arguing about? But here, they're arguing about this. One opinion says, you evaluate the victim. The guy needs atonement, right? So you want atonement, evaluate the guy that you killed. That's how you get atonement. It's not about whether the money's for atonement or not. Everyone agrees it's for atonement. But how do you get that atonement? One opinion says, pay back the guy, the value of the guy you killed. Umar Sabar, Bidim Mazik Shaminan. Another opinion says, no, it's your own life you have to redeem. So evaluate your own life. But everyone agrees that the money you're paying is for the sake of atonement. It's not there to reimburse anyone for the life that's been taken. That's what Rav Papa says.
You're saying the argument is between what you're worth versus what he's worth?
That's for sure the argument. That it says overtly in the Braisa.
But
the question is, what's the logic behind it?
And at first what we were considering was that if it was the value of the person that was killed, it could have been Mamona.
Right.
But Rav Papa is saying no.
Right.
It's Kepara. It's just the value of which person. It's
right.
Kepara, based on this.
Right.
Okay.
Correct. So the Gemara says, wait a second. My tamayu dirabonon. We could understand the logic that if a guy murdered, his ox murdered, and he's going to get atonement, so he has to redeem his own life. I understand that. But if you have to pay redemption money, and it's not money, it's not reimbursement, then what is the logic of evaluating the guy who was killed? You're redeeming your own life. What's the logic? The Gemara says that logic we don't understand exactly. So the Gemara says the logic is as follows. Really, if it were up to logic, you're right. He should pay his own value. But here it's a derivation from the pasuk. Ne'emar hashata lemata. The ne'emar hashata lemala. The word yoshis, the root, shat, to place, is said in two places in that same parsha. In one place it says, if a person hits a pregnant woman by mistake and she miscarries, so then he has to pay. He also has to pay asher yoshis olav bal haisha, as the husband of the woman places upon him. We have a set tax for it, but whatever. The Torah describes it as he will pay in accordance with what the husband of the wife places upon him. So you see the word yashit, places upon him, is used. And over there, we're not evaluating the guy who socked her in the stomach. We're evaluating the miscarriage itself. The woman, the fetus. We have a whole process of how we evaluate how much he should pay. So over there, where it says yashit, who's being evaluated? The victim. So then when it says yashit by us, in our parsha it says, when his ox gores, he will pay kofar. In kofar yushas olav. When kofar is placed upon him. So you have the same like yashit, yushat. It's the same root. So if the Torah used the same term of hashata, of placing a tax upon a person, then Chazal had a tradition that just like in the story where the woman miscarried, you're evaluating the victim. So too over here, when the Torah used that root of hashata, placing a tax, the Torah meant to evaluate the victim. You're right. Logic would dictate if you're gaining atonement, evaluate yourself. You're atoning for yourself. But here I have a derivation. That's why I'm saying evaluate the victim. Mr. Franco, we're together?
Yeah.
Okay.
In other words, they're making the case based on how this word was used.
It's a derivation. It's like the Torah told me to do it. You're right. My logic would say like you. Basically, that's what the Gemara is answering. Logic would dictate, evaluate the perpetrator. He's the one that needs the atonement. But the Torah indicates to me that I don't do it that way. Because of the language used, we have a tradition to derive like this.
Okay.
Should we wait for you?
I have a question.
if we're trying to pay back the family, say this guy has some owning potential, as his, this guy's worth a certain amount because he has some owning potential. He's whatever he does, he's a student. Now, if you evaluate on his, you're paying to his family, it's support money or whatever, temporarily at least. But what if, like, the guy, or the guy, the ox guy, is worth less? Now all of a sudden they're getting a lot less money than they had before. Like, yeah.
100%, but if you think about it, the way the Gemara seems to be headed now, we're not looking to reimburse them. That's not what it's all about.
It's kapara.
It's kapara. The Gemara is going with that it's kapara.
Okay. So we might determine that kapara based on how much he could... Well, actually, I don't know what we determine that kapara based on.
I don't either know.
Okay.
The Torah tells me. I would never say such a thing of my own. I spend his whole life crying three times a day. He killed a human being. I would never say what the Torah says here. You know, but the Torah says it, okay. So. That's why I didn't author the Torah, right? I would never say this. There are a lot of things Torah says that I would never think to say. Okay. So, you know, part of what the Torah does is teach us what's the proper way to think. So I'm not yet holding where, you know, Rashi and Tosfos, they were holding at a point where for them it all made sense. Avraham Avinu was at a point where he didn't need the Torah and it made sense to him to make matzahs on Pesach. We have it in the Torah and we still ask, why are we making matzahs? Why did the Jews in Mitzrayim eat matzahs before they left Egypt? If it's to commemorate their leaving Egypt in haste, they hadn't yet left Egypt. Yet Torah says eat matzahs that night before they left Egypt. So we don't understand it. But okay. So yeah, okay. Back to our Gemara. So the Gemara had said that we evaluate really kufra is kapara, and the reason we evaluate the victim is because we have a separate derivation, the word yushas yoshis. Now the Gemara says, okay, you've convinced me. So now I'm going to go back to Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and I'll say, wait a second, so why don't you say like them? Until now, we were asking where they come off saying you evaluate the victim. Now that he's convinced us, so we turn back to Rabbi Yishmael and we ask. Now you see the Gemara does call him Rabbi Yishmael. See, Avraham, once we know which Rabbi Yishmael we're talking about, the Gemara doesn't mind calling him just Rabbi Yishmael.
Okay.
And
we just know from the context that this is the same Rabbi Yishmael,
right,
not the other Rabbi. Okay.
Rabbi Yishmael. So how does Rabbi Yishmael know that you're evaluating the perpetrator? The Torah says he will give the redemption of his soul. The Torah, who's paying the money? The perpetrator, right? And the Torah calls it he will redeem his soul. So the Torah clearly is telling me who's he paying for? His own soul. The wording of the pasuk overrides what you would think from the other one. I hear really. Let's finish the Gemara. Ve'rabanan, and the rabbis. What do they do with that? The pasuk does seem to indicate that he will redeem his own soul. It says he will give the redemption of his soul. So the rabbis say, in, yes. Pidyon nafshoktiv. The pasuk does say he will redeem his own soul. Mihu bad. How does he do that redemption of his own soul? Ki shayminan. When we evaluate bidinizak shayminan, we must evaluate the victim. And that's the end of the sugya. So Gemara says, you're right. The whole purpose is redemption of his own soul. But the rabbis say he does that by evaluating the guy, the victim. And Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka says, you evaluate the perpetrator. He says, it says, redeem his soul. He has to redeem his soul. He has to pay in accordance with what his life is worth, however you evaluate that.
This is like a common occurrence in the Gemara that there's a machloket between a pshat and a gezer sheva.
No.
Because I remember in the first parak, the start above a comma, there's a... The same thing happens with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. And so it seems like, how is it, it's not easy to resolve such a thing. How do you go? You go by the shahat or you go by the derivation?
That deserves a longer discussion. One thing that I'll throw you into a little bit of a loop, and I'm not going to take you out of it, is not every time that it says ne'emar, is it really gzeiras shava. It seems like they're going to start married here, but until they start, we'll have a quick introduction.
Would the Rav be able to explain also what is it?
Yeah. We have to begin by introducing the 13 laws of derivation. We're out of time.